Well, good morning and happy Sunday, Redeemed Church. It's Pastor Steve with another internet-only service. And we always like to start our Sundays off with a praise report. And I just want to give you a praise report by faith. I know I've been saying it a lot, but we will be together again soon. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah forevermore. You know, just last night I actually had a dream of, you know, it was a dream, but the Lord ministers through us through dreams and visions, amen. But I dreamed that we were all in a big kind of a warehouse type building getting ready to have church. And there was a huge line of people and they were all waiting for the only bathroom that was in the building. So what I got out of that is praise the Lord, we're going to be getting together soon. And there's more people that want to start coming to church. Hallelujah. I believe it. Somebody just say, I believe it. Hallelujah. Now, you know, as we are in this season at the time of this message, the phase two COVID-19, you know, kind of stepping back into getting things back to normal and so on. And churches our size, you know, 50 or so people can be meeting, but in our situation, since we're meeting in a hotel, the hotel has different regulations that we still have to wait. So, you know, we're speculating probably first part of July. So that's going to come sooner than we know. Amen. But praise the Lord, church. We will be together very soon. Amen. Hey, I just want to compliment my wife, Pastor Shelley. She's, you know, with... She did a wonderful Mother's Day message. If you didn't get to hear that, go back and listen to it again. And then last week, the Mission Sunday message was just powerful and amazing. And you guys are amazing. Your giving and your tithes and your offerings and your giving above and beyond tithes and offerings to get the gospel preached around the world. I mean, you've made a difference in everywhere from Israel to Japan to Bolivia to Africa to... over into the Ukraine. I mean, just amazing things. Mexico, you heard some of the testimonies, and just keep it up, church. Amen. We just want to compliment you on your commitment to getting the gospel preached around the world. Also, another thing I don't know if I mentioned in a while, but all of our giving that comes in, 10%, at least 10% of that, is set aside in an account that we just call a God account. And that is set apart to additional giving. And we have ministries that we partner with, like Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Keith Moore Ministries, Rick Renner Ministries, that are these big global ministries that reach out around the world as well. So praise God. You know, giving is why we're a church. Amen. We are coming to receive from the Lord, but part of our act of worship is our giving. Amen. And praise God. We'll come back in just a few minutes to receive our tithes and offerings. But I just wanted to say, way to go, church. Just a great big hallelujah. And I see in our prayer and praise email that there's more testimonies of healings that are in progress, but things that are improving. Amen. And don't you know, anytime we even see a sign of improvement, and that's what I'm seeing in some of these testimonies, is somebody got to go home from the hospital or their medical reports are improving. This is why we pray, church. Amen. We're believing God to heal bodies, to save people, to deliver people, to set people free, to prosper people, even in times like this. Amen. I've been watching a little bit of Pastor George and Miss Gloria Copeland on their weekly broadcast, Believer's Voice of Victory, talking about prospering in challenging times. And don't you know, no matter what times we're in, the Word of God still works. Amen. So just give him thanks and praise. Why don't you, right as we're going into praise and worship this morning, just make this statement of faith like we always do. Just declare this with a nice, strong voice. Maybe if you need to take a sip of coffee before you do, amen. It helps me sometimes, amen. Say this out loud. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I walk by faith and not by sight. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, walking in faith and victory. I'm called, anointed, and chosen, favored, blessed, and loved. I'm the head and not the tail, not beneath but above. I'm a child of God, and God loves me. Amen. Well, reach out to somebody today. Tell them God loves you. Text it, post it, send it, say it, whatever you do. Tell them God loves you. Everything's going to be all right. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. And speaking of keeping our eyes on Jesus, why don't we just enter into a time of praise together?
You can see it across the nations. Excitement filling the air. Miracle signs and wonders. The lost being saved everywhere. The days are fast approaching when our King will return.
Praise the Lord. somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus, for being my God. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior and my Lord, my King. Hallelujah. If there's any kind of pain in your body, just lay hands on your body. Any kind of a sickness, any kind of infirmity, I don't care if it's been going on as long as you can remember. Let's take care of that right now. Amen. Let's bring that to Jesus. Just lay hands on your body and declare. I'm going to open my Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And we're going to declare this over our bodies today. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. The Word of God says this. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, talking about Jesus, of course, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Somebody say that out loud. By his stripes, I am healed. I take my healing. I receive my healing today. I declare my body well in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading an article out of the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine today that Brother Kenneth Copeland wrote, an article regarding about our healing. And he was talking about a man that he knew that he was raised again to life. He was in a car accident like at 18 years old, and they were just taking care of his body basically, and he came back to life. But he shares about being in heaven and how he was given a tour of parts of heaven, and he actually went through a part where they had like a warehouse full of spare body parts. And the angel told him, yeah, we've got spare parts for whoever needs a leg, a heart, you know, a heart valve, a knee. Amen. And in his case, in this young man's case, he needed new vocal cords. His vocal cords had been crushed. So even though he supernaturally came back to life, his sister was interceding for him. It's a beautiful story. And they said, well, he'll never be able to speak again. And the first thing he did was start shouting hallelujah as he was coming back. Amen. So God, we just can't look at God and just say, this is, you know, the situation. This is what the medical report says. Therefore, this is how it is. No. What the Word of God says, if you're a believer, if you're born again, is how it is for you. Amen. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus, for being my healer today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to worship God with our tithes and offerings this morning. And I just wanted to review the praise and prayer email that Shelly sent out. She sent a powerful thing out regarding our giving, and she was complimenting you and praising you regarding your giving toward missions. Amen. And it's just a powerful thing. But something that she said is, I'm just going to quote her, just read right off of what she said. You can take a look at it yourself. But she says this, the verse that comes to mind for what you have given to missions over the years is Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. We know that God will be faithful to his word. Give and it shall be given unto you. Luke 6:38. So the first part of Proverbs 11:25, we get, if we are generous, we will prosper. Give, it will be given back to us. But the next part of the verse we often brush over. Wait till you hear what it means, though. The first refreshes, or watereth in the King James, means to shake, which means to quench or satisfy. The first, the thirst, to bathe, to take the fill, to satiate abundantly, satisfy, soak water abundantly. That is what we are doing when we are being generous in our giving. We are refreshing our missionaries. Now, this is what the second refreshed or watereth means. To flow as water, transitively, I don't know if I said that right, to lay or throw, especially an arrow, to shoot, figuratively direct, inform, instruct, lay, shoot, teaching. Now, in terms we can understand a little better, we refresh, quench, or thirst, or need, we abundantly satisfy to the point of soaking their lives by our giving, then we will flow like water. nothing hindering our lives, being shot like an arrow into the plans that God has for us, being instructed and taught in the areas that we need wisdom. Hallelujah. What a blessing we receive for refreshing others, Shelley says. We aren't just giving back what we give. No, it's so much more. We enter a place of flowing like water. Water is life-giving. It moves freely despite obstacles and debris. That is what your life will be like, free-flowing and not held back. Thank you, Jesus, she says. Then we will be shot forth like arrows, taught and instructed, not just randomly, but by design and specification. This is a powerful concept that if you grab hold of it, it can change your life. When you give generously, as God shows you, there is a reward for that refreshing. So we shouldn't just expect the same that we're giving, but even more. I just love that, church. Those who refresh will themselves be refreshed. And that literally means you and I are flowing like water. The blessing of God is flowing to us and through us. Amen. Glory to God. Don't you love that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we commit our tithes and offerings to the work of your ministry. We bring, Lord God, our gifts, Lord God, our talents, our time, our treasures, Lord God. We know your word says a tenth is the Lord's and offerings besides. And Lord, as we bring it to you as an act of worship, we thank you, Lord, for our jobs, raises, bonuses, increase, favor, inheritances, the blessings of God overwhelming and overtaking our lives. And we thank you, Father, that you're faithful. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We don't look to our jobs as our provider. We don't look to our government as our provider. We don't look to ourselves as our provider. We look to you, Father, and we thank you for it, Lord. We acknowledge you as our provider, and we thank you that you're so faithful. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. And you know, our address for mailing your tithes and offerings in is P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington, 98671. Amen. So thank you so much for your faithful giving and tithing and offerings as God's word is going out. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Let's get into today's message. Let's pray over it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. We receive it all by faith. Give us hearts that are sensitive to hear your voice. Holy Ghost, that you would interpret these words to us today, Father God, in ways that just ring out through our lives, Father. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And while we're praying, Lord, we do cover our nation today. We take authority over the spirit of racism, over the spirit of violence, and just outrageously bizarre protesting, Lord God. We take authority over the spirit of lawlessness in our nation. And we just bind it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our leaders, that you'd give them wisdom, Father God, that you'd give them plans from heaven on how to deal with these times, Father God. And Lord, I ask you to add and subtract from our leadership as you would see fit and give us wisdom as we vote. And we apply the blood over the states of Washington and Oregon, whatever state you're listening to from. I know we have folks that listen from different parts of even the world. California, Arkansas, across the ocean, we apply the blood over your region in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And we declare the kingdom of God come, the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, where you are, in your home, in your finances, in your family, in your ministry, in your business, in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, I want to continue this message entitled Outward Signs of an Inward Work. This is actually the 10th part of this message, and I'm thinking there'll probably be 12 of them. So we're coming around the bend, amen? And it certainly, you know, we can go on and on and on and on and on with this, but, you know, I believe the Lord has some more things for us to get into. But today I want to talk about the outward sign of repentance. Somebody say repentance. Hallelujah. And our message, our foundation text for this entire series has been Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. And it says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And for some reason, that phrase, "the Lord our God," "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," it jumps out at me right now. And it's the number one, right? He's number one. Is Jesus number one in your life? Hallelujah. Somebody say PGF. Put God first. Jesus is number one. But I'm thinking of it in terms of the Lord has won. He has won the battle. Jesus won it all at the cross, didn't he? Amen. When he died and he rose again and he sent the Holy Ghost and he's coming back again. Somebody say, Jesus has won it all. Hallelujah. And I was watching this episode of the A-Team. If you remember the old A-Team back in the 80s. Well, we found it on Google Play. And we have, like, I don't know, we may have every season. But we were watching one from season 2. Today. And it was called, I think it's called Taxi Cab Wars, where these bad taxi cab drivers are trying to run these good taxi cab drivers out of town, and they hire the A-Team to come and save the day. Well, if you remember, probably many people's favorite member of the A-Team, Mr. T, B.A. Baracus, and he's, you know, a taxi cab driver in this episode, and these people get in the taxi cab, and these bad taxis are trying to run him off the road. And they're like, what's going on? What's going on? Mr. T says, hey, listen, this is a war. This is a war. But good news for you. You're in the winning cab. Don't you know? If you're on planet Earth in 2020, you're in the middle of a war. Amen? But if you're born again, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you're on the winning side. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And we need to remember, I have to remind myself frequently right now, that I battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Amen. And we speak to them, and we vote, and we pray. Hallelujah. And we love, we walk in love, we live by faith. Amen. But I want to share with you a quote that I heard on Billy Brim's broadcast. If you have the Victory Network, you can look it up online, victorynetwork.org or whatever it is, Kenneth Copeland Ministries Victory Network. And you can scan through different broadcasts. And this past week, Billy Brim, her broadcast, she brought something out that just really made me say, wow, amen. And it was a quote that they read from David Wilkerson, the minister from, you know, years ago. He passed, I think, in 2011. Amazing man of God. But he said this in 1986, a prophecy. He said, quote, "I see a plague coming on the world, and the bars and church and government will shut down." You know, he said this in 1986, right? "The plague will hit New York City and shake it like it has never been shaken. The plague is going to force prayerless believers into radical prayer and into their Bibles, and repentance will be the cry from the man of God in the pulpit. And out of it will come a third great awakening that will sweep America and the world," end quote. Somebody say, wow. Now, just reading that gives me goosebumps. Amen. Somebody say, you're on the winning side. Hallelujah, right? But just what I had already been feeling stirred about preaching on repentance as an outward sign of an inward work, and I heard that, and it's like, wow, I'm going to share that in this message. Amen. Amazing things. Amazing, amazing things. But repentance means, if you have your notes there in front of you, you may or may not, it's okay. But repentance is defined, here's some good definitions out of the concordance, means compunction, which means any uneasiness or hesitation about the rightness of an action. How many of you know, just because you have a right to do something, that doesn't make it right? Amen. Just because you have congresspeople and laws that say you can do something, that doesn't make it right. So compunction means any uneasiness or hesitation about the rightness of an action. So if I'm about to do something in business or whatever, and I feel a check about it, that would be called compunction. It's good to step back and say, is there anything here that I need to repent about, that I need to change? Amen? That I need to do differently? Hallelujah. It's good to do what you call a gut check, a heart check. Why am I doing this? Amen. Why do I want to do this? Does this line up with God's word? Just because I have a right to do this, is it right to do this? Amen. I remember my mentor, Pastor Scott, when I was in children's ministry back in the 90s, and he would say this. He would ask me this, "Steve, would you say it's more important to get the right things done or to, how did he say it? Is it more important to do things right or to get the right things done?" And some of our support staff would say, to do things right. And he would say, actually, we need to really look at seeing, are we getting the right things done? Amen? Praise the Lord. It also means reversal of decision, to think differently, to think differently, a reversal. Amen? Don't you know, just because we're walking down Sin Boulevard, it doesn't mean I can change my mind and get out of there. Amen? I can make a change and stop walking down Sin Boulevard and start walking down Saint Boulevard. Hallelujah, by my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by anything I can do, not by, you know, me somehow conjuring up my own personal holiness. No, it's by admitting, you know what, this is sin. I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to start doing this. Hallelujah. That's called repentance, church. Amen. And repentance, you know, a lot of places probably aren't really preaching much on repentance because it's not really a visitor-friendly, feel-good kind of thing. But don't you know, Jesus said repent. The Bible says, repent. Amen? That's just an outward sign of an inward work. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Acts chapter 17, verses 29 through 31, I just put this one, I just called it the call to repent, all right? This is the disciples, I think it was Peter who was preaching this. And you can read the whole chapter in your own time, amen. But it says this, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. See, there's so many things in the world that men have invented and said, this is how you get to God. Maybe they build a statue. Maybe they build a to-do list or a not-to-do list, right? Or just, here, you have a right to do this, so for you it's okay. All pathways lead to heaven. These are lies. Amen? If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, then you cannot believe that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 30 says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooks. See, that is just ignorance. Now, it's one thing to be ignorant of something, and it's another thing to be willingly ignorant of something. You know the truth, but you're ignoring it. If you notice, the word ignore is in the word ignorance. That's, now, my pastor, Pastor Huck, would say, you know, when back in the 90s again, he would say, how many of you know that if you fall off the edge of a cliff or jump off, the results are going to be the same? There's truth to that. Amen. But it says this in verse 30, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now, somebody say, but now. But now commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, that word all generally means all. All men everywhere. Hallelujah. Not just in the U.S., not just abroad, not just Democrats or Republicans, not just independents or whatever else as they are, right? All men everywhere have to repent. Repent from what? Repent from sin. Repent from trying to find any other way to God. There's only one way. Somebody say, only one way. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 31 says this, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, capital M, man, whom he has ordained. Now, don't you know, it's not a bunch of people that'll get you to heaven. There's one man, somebody say one man, capital M. Not a bunch of different ways you can obtain salvation. One way, one man, Jesus, whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Hallelujah. By raising him from the dead. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say one way, one man, Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody else did for me what he did for me. Nobody. Buddha didn't do it. Muhammad didn't do it. Joe Smith didn't do it. Mary didn't do it. Amen. My grandfather didn't do it. Abe Lincoln didn't do it. Nobody did this for me but the Lord Jesus Christ. So my faith, I certainly couldn't do it. So my faith must be in him. I have to repent from trying to find any other way to God but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say one way. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 13, verses 1 through 5 says it this way. There's a need to repent. Somebody say, we need to repent. Amen. Everyone needs to repent, right? Luke 13, 1 through 5. There were present at that season some who told him, talking to Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Sometimes when we hear bad things that happen to people, even bad things that happen to good people, Christian people, and you start thinking, well, or whatever, you know, you start thinking, well, they must have did something bad. They must have put themselves in that position. They must have did something that brought that on them. The judgment of God fell on them. And Jesus, like, he's like, you know what? Do you suppose that these things, that this means that they were worse sinners because these things happened to them? He's like, no, no. Everybody needs to repent, or else the same kind of stuff, the same bad things, or worse things, or whatever, you're all going to perish if you don't repent. If you don't repent, you're going to perish. That's what we should take from this. If I don't repent, if I don't come to Jesus, then I am going to perish. Keith Moore was teaching the past several weeks, and especially this past Sunday, about there's not just one death. There is a second death. And so many would believe that if they can, you know, not so many, but, you know, there's people that have created some heinous crime and then killed themselves, thinking, well, okay, I'm going to get out of this by killing them. No, you're not. No, you are not. Because there's a physical death, but then there is a spiritual death. Amen? And the spiritual death is far worse than physical death, because it's forever separation from God in a place called hell. There are two places where people will spend eternity, one or the other. There's not a bunch of choices. Even non-existence is not a choice. There is heaven, forever in a place called heaven with God and his people, or forever in a place called hell, a place of eternal torment with Satan. Hell was not designed for people. It was designed for Satan, but sin kills. Sin separates. Amen? The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death, and the only way out of it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's what he's saying here. You will all likewise perish if you don't repent. Come to Jesus. Somebody say, come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we can even look at it in our own lives as believers. You know, we can think of this in terms of eternal salvation. That's the main thing. Somebody say, man, that's the main thing. But how many know you can be perishing in different areas of your life, even as a believer, right? You can say things like, well, you know, in the group I'm in, we don't believe that healing's for today. Well, then you're perishing in your health because you won't repent and believe God's word, what it says about your health. Well, yeah, you know, the group I'm in, the people I've listened to, don't believe in prosperity. Well, then you're going to be perishing financially because you don't believe what God's word says about finances and prosperity. Amen? So I just tell people, you know what? Whatever Jesus did for you, don't let anybody talk you out of any of it. Just receive it. Just take it. Just believe God for it. Don't let anyone talk you out of the blessing of God for your life. Amen and amen and amen. All we got to do is, you know what? Just say, you know what? Yeah, I believed that it's okay. God might make me sick. Well, no. What's that word repent mean? Reversal of decision. You know what? I'm going back to that decision where I said, yeah, God might make me sick. And I'm deciding, you know what? No, I'm gonna change my decision there, and I'm gonna declare Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes I am healed. Glory to God. And that's just one example. To think differently. You know, I was taught all along that Christians ought to be broke and busted and disgusted and suffer all the way to heaven. No, no, no. I'm going to think differently about that now because I see that the word says he became poor so I could become rich. Now that's a choice. That's an act of your will to repent in that thing. Amen? In other words, just to think that after we get saved and born again, we're done repenting, church. Oh no. Somebody say, oh no. Jesus is going to continue to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. At that point, it's got nothing to do with about me missing heaven. No, but I'd like to have some heaven here on earth.
Well, where do you get that, Pastor Steve?
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. And nobody's talking me out of that. Nobody. Somebody say, nobody. Like the little kid in the fourth grade, little Johnny. I forgave Johnny a long time ago, but it's a great story and you need to hear it. Our fourth grade teacher took us out on the playground and gave everybody paired up with someone. Me and Johnny, our assignment was Steve is going to make as many baskets as he can, and I don't remember how long it was, 10 minutes. And if I get to the goal, if I achieve, we'll say it was 30 baskets, 40 baskets in 10 minutes, then I get the King Kong poster. That's the reward. There was a really cool King Kong's at the top of the building swatting at airplane. I wanted the poster. The teacher said, Steve, if you make that number of baskets in 10 minutes, you get the King Kong poster. If you don't, then Johnny gets the King Kong poster. Can anybody see what's coming? So we're out there on the playground and I'm making baskets and Johnny's counting and Johnny starts saying stuff like, Steve, you got a long time, buddy. Take a break. You look tired. You're going to make it by a long shot. Steve, slow down. And I listened to Johnny. And guess what? Johnny got the King. He got my King Kong poster. I let Johnny talk me out of my blessing. Listen, church, don't let anybody, no pastor, no teacher, no family member, your own body, your own circumstances, talk you out of what the Word of God declares is yours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. On to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I call this real repentance. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Amen? Kind of like that statement, are you really, you know, regretful or remorseful that you did it, or are you just remorseful that you got caught doing it? Amen? Godly sorrow means I'm going to change. Godly sorrow means, man, Father God, I apologize to you for what I did, for the way I've been walking, for the way I've been living, Lord. I commit myself to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter how bad I feel like I want to keep doing that thing, I see that that thing is directly opposed to your word. I don't care how many people have told me that the thing I want or have desired is right, that the thing that I want and desire, I have a right to it. I see in your word that it is not right that I'm doing that. So therefore, I change my mind about it right now. And Father God, I come to you, Jesus. See, it's all about our fellowship with Jesus. A lot of these things won't, if you've gotten saved and born again, won't keep you out of heaven, but it'll break my fellowship with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, we've got to get to a place where that is priority numero uno, number one. I'm never going to break my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ intentionally. Amen. And if and when I do, he's going to correct me. And then when he corrects you, when you see you've missed it somewhere, you don't run from God, you run to God. Hallelujah. And he's there with open arms. Look up the story, Google it, or open your Bible to the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son came running home. He realized the mess he had made of himself, of his life. But he didn't allow that to keep him away from his father. He came back to his father. And his father loved him, embraced him. They had a party. He said, welcome home. My son was dead and is alive. That's godly sorrow. Amen? And he got full restoration of his family rights and benefits. I mean, it's a powerful story of God's great mercy and love. Amen? Romans 2 verses 4 through 5, the first part of verse 5. His goodness leads me to repentance. Say that out loud. God's goodness leads me to repentance. praise the Lord. We could even say it this way. God's rightness leads me to repentance. Or even say it this way. God's rightness leads me to do what is right. And isn't it interesting? I've said this before, but it bears repeating, that even politically, the conservative, you know, belief system, value system is called the right. Now, that's not an accident, church. The other is called the left, right? I mean, left. How many of you would rather not get left behind when the rapture happens? Now, I'm not saying that every Democrat is not born again. That's God knows. God sees that. He understands that. He knows who's his and who's not. That's not saying that every conservative Republican is born again. Amen? It's about the heart of the man, the heart of the woman. And don't you know, we need believers, born-again people in both parties, in all parties, changing the parties, bringing the parties together. Don't you know, in heaven, it's just one big party for one family of all race, of all color, of all, you know, men and women, everyone is one big family, one Father, one Lord, one Savior. Amen. That's good news, right? But it says this in Romans 2, verses 4 and 5. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart. Wow. Now, that word impenitent, we just can't run right by that word and not look at it. Because I'll tell you what. There's a lot of issues in the world with impenitent hearts. And we need to even look at ourselves and examine our own hearts, because there's probably areas in our own lives where we've been impenitent. And we look at stuff that's happening on the news, stuff we hear, and we think, now that's impenitent. But where have I been impenitent? Lord, Holy Ghost, show me. Where do I need to come and just be open and contrite before you, sir? Amen? But listen to this word impenitent. It means not feeling regret. That word, not feeling. Not feeling regret. Not feeling regret about one's sin or sins. Now, if you'll notice, this is a personal thing. This is not, you know, I can't repent for somebody else. I can only repent for me. Right? That's a good prayer to pray. Father God, thank you for helping me never to get past feeling regret about sin. Now, that doesn't mean you feel bad forever about stuff that we've seen. No, once you've confessed your sin to Jesus, it's cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Now you just got to get victory over guilt and condemnation, right? We're not talking about that. You're free. But it's those things that we persist in. Those things that we get, we stop even recognizing that it's wrong. Because it's become such a fabric, part of the fabric of who we are, and it doesn't line up with God's word. Amen? That's where the Holy Ghost is helping us today. Amen? And helping others. Praise the Lord. But it brought out that word impenitent, meaning, I'd never heard of this word before. Maybe you have. Obdurate. Obdurate. And that means, in dictionary.com, it means unmoved by persuasion, by pity or tender feelings, stubborn, unyielding. Now listen to this. Stubbornly resistant to moral influence. Does that sound like issues in our nation today? Stubbornly resistant to moral influence. If you're telling me, for example, you know, someone with like the Black Lives Matter movement, which is pushing to defund police and all. And if you don't believe like this, then you're a racist. Well, that's not even true. Amen? I'd like to ask some of these folks, do you believe in abortion? I would venture a guess many do. Well, then, black lives don't matter to you. Right? You've become stubbornly resistant to moral influence. Amen, right? Persistently impenitent. persistently impenitent. Now, church, this ought not be. Amen? Not feeling regret about one's sin or sins. Praise the Lord. But we come back again to what the Word says. You know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn, repent for their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. So there again, church, instead of beginning to point fingers, instead of beginning to rail people and criticize people openly, man, avoid, we ought not be saturating ourselves with the news, saturating ourselves with social media, because it's so full of strife. Even sports right now, sports radio, full of strife, much of it, right? And it gets on a person. And then we come home and we're at odds with our own family. Amen? This cannot be. What do we need to do? Turn. Repent. Hallelujah. And finally, I want to close with 2 Thessalonians chapters 1 and 2. I read this morning in my daily Bible reading, and wow, I titled it, Here's a Real Good Reason to Repent. I'm going to read a lot of these verses, but not the whole thing, but 2 Thessalonians, and somebody to say, Jesus is coming soon. That's a real good reason to repent right there. Amen. We want to be rapture ready. We want to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to be with the right people, doing the right things at the right time, in the right place. Hallelujah, with the right heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1, or chapter 2, verses 5 through 10 or so. I'm going to read this first. This is evidence that God's judgment, being righteous, will count you worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. It is a righteous matter with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. And now that just jumped out at me. It is a righteous matter with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. You ever heard that scripture, vengeance is mine, says God? Amen. Well, there's coming a tribulation period. People think what's happening right now is bad. Just wait till the rapture of the church. And the church is no longer, the moral restraining force is no longer on the planet. Somebody say, this is a real good reason to repent. Right here. You ever heard that term, if you can't beat them, join them? Well, guess what? You can't beat God. You can't beat Jesus, so join him. Come and be a part of his family. Amen? It's the highway. It's the good way. It's the way of life. Maybe you're listening right now and everything I'm saying is making you angry. Well, just come to Jesus. Just get born again. Give your life to Jesus. Choose heaven over hell. Choose eternal life over eternal death. Amen? Choose forgiveness of sins rather than continuing in sins. Hallelujah. Amen. It is a righteous matter with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. Those who are pressuring the Church of Jesus Christ are going to soon be under such pressure that there'll be literally no escape from it unless they repent. Amen. That's a glorious thing with God. Even after the church is raptured out of the world, there'll still be a season for the world to repent. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is still here. And there'll be, you can read Revelation, prophets of God and people that will rise up and realize what's going on. I mean, this thing ain't over. Amen. But somebody say, let's be on the first plane out of here. Amen. Let's be rapture ready. Amen. Verse 7, And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Those who don't repent are going to have, that's what the wrath of God is going to be on them, man. There's just no happy way to look at that for those people, right? They shall be punished with eternal destruction, isolated from the presence of the Lord. Talk about isolation, right? What do they call it? Quarantine? Talk about being separated from God forever. We won't ever see any other people forever. Amen? In a place of eternal darkness and torture and suffering, where the worm never dies, one word that describes hell. Nasty, awful place, and there's no escape, ever. I mean, that's a real good reason to repent. Right there, amen? Isolated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at by all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. See, the testimony of the Word of God needs to be believed. Somebody say, I'm a believer. I am a believer now. I'm a believer now. Amen. I'm not going to wait till it's too late. I choose today to believe. In chapter 2, as we close, now, brothers, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and concerning our gathering together unto Him, we ask you not to let your mind be quickly shaken or be troubled, neither in spirit nor by word nor by letter, coming as though from us, as if the day of Christ is already here. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way. Oh, my Jesus. That is a powerful verse. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way. Amen. Know the Word of God. Know the Bible. Know the truth. Love the truth. Hate the lie. Even if people say the lie is the truth and the truth is a lie, do not let anyone deceive you. Don't let them pay you enough to deceive you. Amen. To cater enough to your desires to deceive you. No. Somebody say no. Absolutely not. For that day will not come unless a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself as God. We're already seeing this spirit, this kind of Antichrist spirit trying to rise up, even in the U.S., right? But that part where it says, the day will not come unless a falling away comes first. Somebody say, don't. Now, I've heard this taught in a couple different ways, and I believe they're both true, right? First of all, we have to decide we're not going to fall away. We're not going to be the ones that fall away into deception. Even the Church of Jesus Christ could choose to fall away into deception, which leads to destruction, which leads to death. Amen. It also I've heard it taught that means there's a rapture coming. The rapture comes first, and then this Antichrist man appears, right? But the spirit is already here. Amen. That spirit is already on the planet and at work. Just turn on the news for a few minutes. Amen. It's trying to take over Seattle this week. It's nothing new. Amen. But we resist him in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Because that's what the church does, right? Somebody say, we're on the winning side. We're on the light side. Don't come out of the darkness into the light. Amen. Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Now you know what restrains him, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. This is a lawless spirit trying to come on our planet, on our nation, and we resist it. We choose not to be lawless people. We bring our lives to Jesus and submit our lives to His authority. There is an attack on authority in our planet, in our nation, that is ungodly, devilish, and evil. Amen. Right? Only he who is now restraining him will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. So see, that's a good reason to repent. You don't want to side with the lawless one. You want to be on the Lord's side, not the lawless one's side. Hell's going to be full of people that had it their way. Hell's going to be full of people that did things how they wanted to do it. Somebody say, not me. I come to Jesus. And destroy with the brightness of his presence, even him, verse 9, whose coming is in accordance with the working of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. No matter what it looks like, church, no matter what it looks like or sounds like or how beautiful they try to make it look, if it's ungodly, if it's lawless, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, we reject it. Amen. And with all deception of unrighteousness among those who perish, because they did not receive the love for the truth, that they might be saved. Oh, church, that's the key issue right there. Haters of the truth. And isn't it interesting that many, many people call people like us haters, but really they're the ones who are hating the truth of God's word, amen, that they might be saved. And praise God, there's still time for them to be saved. We're not going to quit. Amen. Therefore, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is why we pray, church. This is why we preach. It's not for me to decide who gets saved and who doesn't get saved. It's for me to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a believer in him. I heard somebody say not too long ago, the best vitamin a Christian can take is this, it's called B1. Get it? The best vitamin a Christian can take, B1. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are preachers of the love and righteousness and holiness of God. Preachers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preachers of a way out of a life of eternal destruction. Amen. And finally, as we close, verse 13. We're going to take it, but I'll just read it. But we are bound to always give thanks to God for you, beloved brothers of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you by our gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's you and me. If you're born again, that's you, right? Why? Through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Yes, God has chosen you, but guess what? You chose to be chosen. And they could too. Amen? Praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Let's just pray for a moment in the Holy Ghost. O shete levi bakalo, ke lavi bashote ke lavamoto. I'm just going to take a knee right here in my bedroom. And Jesus, I just lay this church. We lay our cares. We lay our concerns, our issues, our strengths and weaknesses, our lives at your feet. Hallelujah. I just see us all like out in a big field, beautiful big meadow, and we're kneeling down, surrendering our lives to our King. We're in his army. He's rallying his troops. We're submitted to his authority. Jesus, we submit to your authority, Lord. We thank you for being good. We thank you that you are love. We thank you that you are grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for being our healer, our provider, our King and our God. And we submit our lives to you in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Somebody just say, use me, Lord, in these last days to bring light, to bring the love of God. Hallelujah. We take authority over the spirit of lawlessness in this nation right now, or wherever you are, if you're in another nation, it's the same spirit. We bind it in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically in this nation, Father, we declare this nation one nation under one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. God, we even pray over the elections coming up this year. We speak, Lord God, by faith that your leaders will be in office and those who need to leave will be out in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak your peace, Lord, and your health over this summer. We rebuke this COVID-19 plague in the name of Jesus Christ and declare it gone, losing strength and power in Jesus' name. We declare this spirit of divisiveness and racism and violence and strife defeated in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare this attack on African-American people and on relationships between people who have different color of skin and attacks on our police departments. And we just declare peace. We say peace in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And we release the angels to go and conquer the devil forces that are out to steal and kill and destroy from our nation. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, you will honor the promises that you made to the forefathers of our nation to keep us one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, Father God. And we speak that liberty and that justice for all, men of all colors, Father God, men from any nation that come here to be a citizen of this one, that there would be peace, Lord God, and that Jesus would be Lord over our nation from coast to coast and sea to shining sea. And we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we declare churches reopened in the name of Jesus Christ. Churches reopened and people running to church, running to Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, church. Shelly and I and the family, we love you. Keep in touch with us by email again, redeemedfam@gmail.com. Looking forward to a wonderful Father's Day message next week. Happy early summer break to everybody. And we love you. God bless you. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.